On this Monday, as we're bringing you the latest in the evacuations. Now, Lac La Ronge on that list. If those are vehicles asked to go Highway 2, buses are also available as these wildfires continue to wreak havoc and displace more Saskatchewanians on this Monday afternoon.
And 8,000 people earlier was the number, so that's just increasing it.
That seemed by the day, the totals. This continues to be a major issue this spring, again, in not only Saskatchewan, but across Western Canada. But, of course, there is a football game on Thursday, the Riders and the Ottawa Red Blacks, to open up the CFL season as we bring on game day analyst Belton Johnson on this Monday afternoon. Belton Johnson, I'm just wondering real quick. We had Jeremy Roenick, Hockey Hall of Famer, on. He was talking about some epic pranks that he pulled on some teammates. Are pranks a common thing in the football locker room? Or not really?
Oh, it's definitely a prank goes on in the locker room, James. That's how you keep football fun.
Yeah?
Is there any we can talk about?
Yeah, is there anything we can talk about on the radio that are appropriate or not?
Oh, let me think.
That's a no.
Yeah, we probably should discuss it, fellas.
Shaving cream in the towel.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I'm just going to put Belton on hold and see if we can get a better connection with Belton. Sorry about that. Before we continue talking about the Riders, because I'm pondering if Belton's willing to put it on the board. We have the board of predictions over here. We have Evan Bray saying the Oilers are going to win the Stanley Cup in five. Don't get out the marker yet. We don't know if Belton's going to say anything.
What? I'm preparing.
I got the, we have the Mitch Marner's going to the Utah Mammoth on that one. That's you.
Oilers in five, Bray. Brad Marchand, number 63, eats a blizzard out of the cup.
Okay. All righty. So.
And Locker Barbecue falls apart by August Long.
That was from Kirk, I do believe.
By the way, alrighty, I have a barbecue update for you.
We're just wondering, do you want to put your prediction of the Rough Riders on the board that you said earlier or not? Are you willing to go out on that limb 3 days before kickoff and start making some bold proclamations around the Rough Riders?
I'm ready, Jamie. I believe everything I've seen in the team, which hasn't been much, so it'll have to be, you know, regular season that they're going to take off, right? So, yes, put me on the board, Jamie.
What's your overall prediction for the Rough Riders in 2025?
13-5.
13-5, and are we partying on the Green Mile in November?
That's the plan, Jamie. That is the plan.
There it is.
Write it on the board.
Yeah, on the board. 13-5 and a Grey Cup championship for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders is how Belton is leading. This is, they haven't even played a regular season game yet. And Belton is saying, here we go. Riders, 13 wins, Grey Cup championship. It's June the 2nd, Tucker.
Do you want me to take a photo, send it, so we can put it right beside that, too?
Yeah.
Oh. It's on the board. We don't need pictures.
No, it's on the board. It'll be here on Thursday when you come in for the pregame show. You'll see it. Belton Johnson predicting it. Why? Why, Belton, are you so confident in this team this season?
Why am I confident? Like, again, for me, it's the continuity and everything, right? You know, got a handful of starters back, but 9 all-star guys are back. And, you know, I don't put a whole lot of stock into the preseason. And I just got to think, when the lights come on Thursday, home opener, all the emotions. And keep in mind, the players, they remember last season. They're trying to get somewhere this year. I think it's going to come storming up right off the hop, Jamie.
We got a couple of preseason games. You know, out of the way. And then the regular season starts on Thursday. Good Blacks in town, Belton. How much weight does the preseason have in the minds of players versus the coaching staff? Because a loss is a loss. A win is a win. Does a couple of losses in the preseason chew away at this team or no?
I don't think it'll chew away at the team. And, you know, for me, as a former player, the preseason was, you know, kind of get my craft together. And everything was really done and won at practices and everything, right? And preseason, to me, you're trying not to, you know, you want to play a good game, but you want to leave out of there healthy, right? I mean, look at the number of guys we saw go down a little bit there last week for that last preseason, right? You just want to get out of there healthy. And again, to me, it's okay, regular season hits. That's when the lights come on. That's when you're ultra-focused and ready to go, guys.
Okay, of course, the cutdown day over the weekend, was there anything that surprised you? Belton, we've been talking. It wasn't nothing jaw-dropping from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Well, you don't think Cone making the active roster is my imagination, Jamie.
I'd imagine he'll be a healthy scratch, though. Like, I imagine he'll be the fourth guy, but he'll get the full salary, right? That's part of it.
He will. That's part of it. But so other than, you know, kind of that thing, you know, having four quarterbacks on the roster like that, you know, nothing shocked me or surprised me.
So, Belton, I have a question. So you've been around, you know, your quarterbacks and quite often that role, sort of the expectation is that it could be a bigger personality, not always, but they, you know, they're sort of the focal point of the team. Do you think if there would have been any issues, ego or otherwise, in that quarterback room, do you think they would have kept all four? Or is that a sign that these guys kind of get along and that they're going to make this work this season?
Well, I think it's a product of, one, getting along and everything, but it's the work that they've put out on that field, right? You know, especially for, you know, Cone, who – you know, maybe he could have been gone or something, or, you know, instantly signed to the practice roster versus the active roster. And to me, if I'm the number two quarterback, who I'm thinking it might be Jake Mayer, I'm looking over my shoulder, man, because I'm telling you, the gap between him and Cone, it ain't far at all. Not based on the preseason game. Practice, I'm not sure.
Belton Johnson with us, our game day analyst, of course, getting ready for the opening game of the regular season on Thursday against the Ottawa Red Blacks. Let's go to cutdown day. You've lived this many times.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like for the rookies, the newcomers to a team, to get the news that you're making the squad, whether that's practice roster or active roster, that, hey, we're not giving you a plane ticket. You're staying right here in Regina.
You're pumped and excited, Jamie. You get to continue on doing what you do for a living. You know, it's a kid sport, football, right? You're playing a kid sport, making money. And, you know, you get to keep living your dream versus, you know, I've seen guys get cut. I've been cut. It's not a good feeling to get cut at all. It's a greater feeling, you know, to make the team, whether, you know, practice roster, active roster. And let's face it, guys, those practice roster guys, they have the potential of seeing that field during the regular season.
Belton, on Thursday, home opener, when they step out on the field and you're watching a quarter or two of this team that you're saying is going to go 13-5, what are you looking for right out of the gates at the beginning, the front end of a season, that's going to show you that this team has what it takes to get to a Grey Cup this year?
I need to see some energy and some pizzazz right off the bat, fellas. Like, I haven't seen it at all during the preseason or anything, right? So, and again, I know offense typically starts a little bit slower and everything, but I'm willing to bet that this offense isn't going to start slow just because of, you know, guys that have been on the team from last year. I think the defense is going to obliterate people, or, you know, at least they need to, because I'm predicting them to go 13. Better do it.
Well, Belton, can't wait for Thursday. It's real this time. Counts in the standings. And with the Riders pregame show, 5 o'clock getting set for the Red Blacks and Saskatchewan at Mosaic. Have a good rest of your Monday, Belton.
Have a good one, fellas.
That is Belton Johnson, game day analyst here on the Green Zone, as we anticipate the opener. Dave Naylor's going to be in with some previews this week as well. We'll have Rider guests, Red Black guests, leading you up till kickoff on Thursday as the CFL season starts Thursday. The Stanley Cup Final starts Wednesday night. Perfect scheduling to start. You have hockey on Wednesday, Riders Thursday, hockey on Friday. Nailed it.
It's almost like they planned it.
Almost.
Except they didn't.
Game 5 and Game 7 could get interesting with some Rider game days and the Stanley Cup
That'll
Final.
Be a fun Saturday.
Yes, it will. Yeah. Coming up here on the Green Zone, we'll break down some of the other news from around the CFL on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. No sugar tonight, but coffee. No sugar tonight. Welcome back to the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker with you on this Monday afternoon as we bring you the latest again. Want to keep everybody up to date on the wildfire situation with more evacuations for LaRange, Arrange, Lac LaRange. That came down in the last hour with evacuations there. They were being warned about the possibility, but that was made official this afternoon. As thinking all those being evacuated from around Saskatchewan with these wildfires in our province. Yes, it's just some sustained rain.
Yeah.
Listening to David Phillips from Environment Canada earlier, he looked at the forecast, and it's not looking great in that. And he also says some of the storms that happen this time of year also bring lightning, which might
part of the problem
make a bigger issue. But any moisture possible would be helpful. And we'll continue to bring you up to date as we do here. Of course, the latest at CJME.com and CKOM.com. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. Well, there's some good news at the National U Sports Awards. Prince Albert, Saskatchewan's Gage Grassick has just been awarded the Lewis Mitchell Award for the top female athlete in U Sports. That is nationwide. All sports, she's the best female athlete in Canada. Of course, wow. Helped lead the University of Saskatchewan Huskies to a national championship, averaging 20.7 points per game. MVP honors as well at the U Sports Final 8 tournament. Meanwhile, the male athlete goes to Tyler Elsgersma. He is with now the Green Bay Packers, of course, as one of the U Sports quarterbacks, helping lead Laurier to a Vanier Cup final and winning the MVP at the Yates Cup. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, more of our interview with Hockey Hall of Famer Jeremy Roenick right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. The Green Zone,
Jamie and Locker, I'm Locker. Party in the Park is happening this weekend, June 6th and 7th, WEA Graham Park in Saskatoon. Party in the Park brought to you by Saskatchewan Hockey Heroes. This is the seventh year raising money They've raised well over $2 million, and that is going to the Heart and Stroke Foundation. Great cause. And a bunch of NHL alumni will be on hand, including Darren McCarthy, Doug Gilmore, Brian Scrudlin, Ali Afraidy, and, of course, Jeremy Roenick, who's joining us now here on the Green Zone. JR, out of that group, which one had the least amount of fun on the ice with Jeremy Roenick?
I would have to say probably McCarthy because he threw so many hits and punches at my face and intimidated the crap out of me more than anybody. Probably the worst would be Dougie Gilmore because he's got a beautiful brand new set of white chiclets thanks to me, which makes sure that he reminds me all the time how I sticked him and knocked all of his teeth out. So I'm just very, very, very lucky that I have a great relationship and friendship with him now. We can laugh about it. But those two, I would say, are the two guys that I have battled the most and have the biggest rapport and history with. But you never know what's going to happen when we all get together with these charity events. It's a lot of fun. If anyone's never been to one of these charity events and been able to sit in the locker room and listen to the stories and you know, tilt a couple suds back with some of us and listen to us banter back and forth and then get on the ice and score some goals and have some fun, raise money for charity, you definitely are missing out on an amazing weekend.
JR, we had a Green Zone Lounge conversation the other day about McDavid, Draisaitl, and a comparison between Lemieux and Jágr and Gretzky and Messier. And who McDavid and Draisaitl compares closer to, in your opinion?
I would say Jágr and Mario. I think they're, you know, Mario was such a smooth, just strong. His hands were unbelievable. His playmaking ability was also, it was awesome. And Jágr had that kind of that not so great skating stride, big, strong, used his body to protect the puck, was extremely smart. I think Draisaitl and Jágr really, really, you can compare them very, very, very closely with the way that they play. For Messier and Gretzky were just off the charts talented. Messier was the beautiful skater, fast, mean, can do pretty much anything. But if you want to look at just the type of players that they are, that Jágr Mario description would be pretty cool to compare between those two. But my goodness, if there's not a better duo in any sport on any team right now, I would like to see it, because these two are just two amazing athletes with two unbelievable competitive levels.
Like Lemieux and Jágr, like Gretzky and Messier, is it just inevitable these two are going to win a Stanley Cup, and maybe right away here in the next couple of days?
It could be this year. You know, it's as the trend goes, you lose in the Stanley Cup year, and you seem to get back there relatively quick, and you win it. Vegas did it. Florida did it. I think it's inevitable that Edmonton's going to win one this year, probably being their best opportunity. It's not good having one of their top goal scorers go down. That's a huge hit for them. But I would never count out a team that has McDavid and Draisaitl. They look too good, and it seems like they're on a mission.
You were inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in 2024. That's 12 years after you retired. And, I mean, you've talked about this over the years. Can you pinpoint the first emotion you had when you got the news?
Sheer shock and overwhelming feeling of gratitude and just a relief. I think that 12 years, and I complained for 10 of those 12 years, I'm not going to lie to you, is something that I really wanted in my, you know, to finish off my playing career. Afterwards, I didn't think about it during, but afterwards, knowing and watching and hearing everybody come up to me and ask me why I'm not in, and me getting tired of answering the question. But it was just one of those things where I think the weight made the surprise that much more special and treasured. And, you know, I still get goosebumps when I think and tell the story and think about the feeling that I had when, you know, that Toronto area code popped up on my phone. It was, I'll never forget it.
What was your first thought on who was trying to call you?
I didn't know. I have a lot of friends in Toronto. I have a lot of friends. I thought it was going to be a radio station asking me, you know, what do I thought about my chances of getting the Hall of Fame like I did every single year. And it's like, then I call the number back and it says, welcome to the Hall of Fame. You know, press 3 for tours, press 4 for, you know, for tickets. I'm like, then it hit me. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's the Hall of Fame calling me. So, kind of froze and got sweaty and nervous. And literally 10 minutes later, my phone rang back again. It was Mike Gartner and Lanny McDonald. And I just was,
that's awesome.
I was beyond speechless. I cried as hard as I can remember crying in a long time, right in front of the Starbucks barista who popped me out the window.
Did you get the order in yet or not?
Oh, I made the order, but I didn't pay for it. He was handing it to me. I was grabbing it. I was just getting ready to take off. He's like, sir, you got to pay for this. He goes, are you okay? Do you need help? I'm like, no, I'm okay. Okay, thank you. And then I pulled away from the Starbucks window, and I stopped the car, put it in park, and I yelled as loud as I could by myself in the car, yelled a couple expletives and said it's about time. You know, thank goodness. And it was an amazing moment for myself.
Jeremy Roenick with us. He and a bunch of the guys, Darren McCarty, Dougie Gilmore, Brian Skrulin, Ally Afraidy in Saskatoon, June 6th and 7th for Party in the Park. You want to take care of that one and take that one in. Of course, your reputation on the ice, sometimes reckless, JR, but it wasn't without an aggressive push in Kalamazoo from Mike Keenan. How aggressive was that push from Mike Keenan to finish a check?
Well, if he did it now, he'd be in jail. Let's put it that way. He'd go to jail for assault, and that's how strong of a coach that Mike Keenan was. That he was going to send a message across, no matter how physical or loud he needed to be. And you know, he grabbed me around the throat, and it was a pretty tight grip around my throat, and literally leaning me back, and with spit going all over my face as he's yelling at me to start hitting and stop being a U.S. high school, you know, blank, blank, blank. And pretty much literally, like I said in my speech, he said, if you don't hit, he threatened my entire NHL career on whether I was going to hit somebody or not. And I just, you know, as fearful as I was and scared as I was of getting hurt and all that stuff, I was more fearful, more scared of not playing in the league, not having a job, or not impressing him. So I did it, and I hit hard, and I learned to love it. And I learned that one of the greatest feelings in pro sports is having somebody's head mush into your shoulder blade, into your shoulder when you hit a perfect hit. I mean, I grew to love it. And the fans loved it. It just became part of my, you know, part of my repertoire, and I enjoyed that part of the game very, very much. I mean, my body took a beating, but you know, it lasted. So I was very lucky to be, you know, still healthy.
JR, we'll stick with the reputation questions here. You've been called outspoken and brutally honest at times. And not to compare you to anyone else in the past or present of the league, but is it somewhat frustrating that there seems to be a little bit more forgiveness for, I don't have a better word for it, a more vibrant personality in the game today than when you were around? I think they were sort of clamping down on that type of thing when you played, and now there seems to be the doors cracking open for it. Have you noticed that? Is that anything you think about?
Yeah, I think the door needs to crack open a little bit more, and I think guys need to, I think, take advantage of that opportunity to be themselves, to have charisma and to be honest and sometimes say things that can be controversial, as long as they're not offending anyone and as long as they're not, you know, doing things or saying things that obviously are you know, hurtful in turn. But to tell people that they don't like somebody or they don't like a certain player or they think the referees did a terrible job or, you know, the league needs to do something different to make the game better and just be outspoken like that, or even just have a great personality and have some fun and dance on the ice, or not, I'm just not saying dance on the ice, but just have a more of a kind of a personality that draws people to watch you and that want to be a fan and draws people to the game. I think that's important. And I do think you are right. There are guys that are getting away with saying more things that are controversial. Maybe the stupid woke people are starting to lose grip on people and that mentality. You know, feelings are feelings, but feelings are also important when it comes to sports, because people want to be happy. People want to be entertained. They want to watch a hockey game and then watch the news clippings afterwards and see what the guys say. And that's what people live for. And it's important that these players give them that, you know, that outlet. And I think it's getting better. There's some good players in the league that are able to do that. I think Ovechkin's fantastic. Matthew Tkachuk is great at doing it. You know, Brady's is good at doing it. There's, you know, I think the Jack Hughes is a great personality. So I just think there needs to be a little bit more. And I think, you know, it's definitely a good time to watch hockey these days.
Our full chat with Jeremy Roenick is now up on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search The Green Zone. One champ, one chump daily. We will chump a Blue Jay, and we're champing a coworker. That's next. This is 980 CGME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
Duh! You're a bad person.
Each and every day, champs and chumps here on The Green Zone. Let's start with the chump. And this is like minor baseball stuff, right? When I see it in the majors, it drives me nuts.
What was he doing?
George Springer gets to third, and he starts just bouncing off the...
He wasn't celebrating.
No, the manager, John Schneider, said he was testing his ankle because he thought he might have hurt it when he slid in.
Okay.
So he's jumping up and down. It didn't look like he was testing anything. It just looked like he was bouncing out a celebration. And then he got tagged out because his feet were off the base. And he
Max Schumann stuck a glove in his
butt. Got him out. Like, that's, again, minor league stuff that, you know, to keep your foot on the bag until you know the ball is gone. Come on, George, you know better. But our champ, who's just down the hall, actually, the great Mallory Outerbridge, University of Regina Mel. Women's soccer team, helps coach that team, and was inducted a part of her team back in the day into the Ottawa Sports Hall of Fame over the weekend with the 2012 Ottawa Fury that won their championships. That team was inducted into the Ottawa Sports Hall of Fame last week. She went out there with her teammates and her family as a celebration. She's a champ in this building at Ralco Radio as one of the lead FM sales managers. And that now just call her a Hall of Famer all the time. Right?
There you go.
Hall of Famer.
Co-worker.
Mallory Otterbridge is our champ here on The Green Zone. Time now for The Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. All's good with Connor McDavid. Everything's fine with Connor McDavid. He missed a portion of practice yesterday, but the head coach says it's all right. Yeah, just taking some maintenance. Alexander Barkov, the other captain in the Stanley Cup final, got some hardware today. The Selke Trophy and the King Clancy Trophy are going to Alexander Barkov for the top defensive forward and the King Clancy for leadership and humanitarian work off the ice. Of course, game one of the Stanley Cup final goes on Wednesday. Saskatchewan Rough Rider news. Offensive lineman Jacob Brammer left practice early yesterday. Not as good a news as Connor McDavid. He might be out for Thursday's opener, so the Riders again have to shuffle some things on the offensive line with just one more day to prep for the Ottawa Red Blacks. And a day off for the Red Hot Blue Jays. Of course, they're on a 5-game heater. They take the day off after sweeping the the Athletics over the weekend. Coming up tomorrow on the Green Zone, we'll have Bill Lindsay from the Florida Panthers and Jack Michaels of the Edmonton Oilers to get you set for the Stanley Cup Final.
Jack!
Right
I'm
here
a fan.
On 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.